welcome to the DriveCast. My name is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint Westerville. I just want to say I hope you had a great weekend. This past Sunday at LifePoint in Westerville, we talked about a particular passage found when Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he's arrested. It's called the Upper Room Discourse. It's several chapters in the book of John where Jesus is really sharing his heart with his guys. And one of the things that he said to them was that he was going to be leaving. He was going to be killed. He was going to be, Judas was going to betray him. He said that, Peter was going to deny him. These are all these little things that he said. And here's where it picks up in John 14, right after saying all those things. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and where you, the way to where I'm going." Now Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Now Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." But Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Now, it's an interesting set of passages. Just imagine that these guys would have been really upset. They're working towards something, 3 years of ministry together, hoping that Jesus is going to become this Messiah, this earthly king, if you will. And yet he's telling them he's leaving. And he tells them, "Look, don't be troubled." And he makes clear some things about that. He makes clear what their future holds, that he's going to prepare a place for them, that he is going specifically to make a place that he wants the disciples to be with him. And that really says a lot about Jesus, that he is, his desire and his care and his love for these guys. It really is a picture of God himself, that's what he's revealing to us, that God wants to prepare a place so that we can be with him. It also brings into clarity, what it means to come to the Father. And in this day and age, it's difficult because a lot of people believe that there's many ways to God. But Jesus made it absolutely clear that he is the only way. He's the way to the Father. And he brings that into clarity. He also brings into clarity the whole idea that, that he is he is God. He is divine. When he looks at the guy, says, when they say, "Hey, show us the way to the Father." And he's like, I'm the way to the Father. And then Thomas says, "Well, just show us the way, show us the Father and we'll be fine with that." And he looks at Philip and says, "Philip, don't you know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And he makes it very clear that Jesus is divine. In his very nature, he's God. Now, all of these things are important. I think that they really clear up some things for us. They clear up, where our future is going to lie. They clear up, how do we get to God, through Jesus, obviously. And they clear up who Jesus is. That, to really be a Christ follower, you have to know who Christ is. But even with clarity, the passage, the verse that really stuck out to me was in verse 1. Or says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He says, "Believe in me. Believe in my Father. Believe in God." In a lot of translations, it says to trust. And this is the thing about clarity. As much as the disciples wanted to know what was going to happen, as much as you and I want to know what's going to happen, the reality is the reason we want clarity is because we want to bypass the risk of trusting in God, to just believe in him. And the interesting thing is when you look through scripture and you watch how God calls people to do things, he rarely gives them all the details. And he does the same thing with us, but he calls us to trust him. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also." Trust in God and trust in me also. And I wonder, where you're at today. Is your desire for clarity kind of supersedes your desire to trust God? What would it look like for you to truly trust God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, to love him in that way, by giving him the gift of trust? So I just want to challenge you with that this week, and maybe take a second just to pray, to talk to God about it. Maybe tell him, "God, I trust you. Help my unbelief. Talk to him about maybe your need for clarity. And you pray that he reveal himself to you in such a way that you trust him in spite of the lack of clarity. Well, I think the one thing that he asked for us is to trust in him from that passage. And I hope that that sticks with you this week. Thank you so much and have a great week.